Like to have yourself a copy of God's Word, the Bible I mean, much better and clearer than anything you'll get from the Watchtower Society. Poison, cult, sect, peddling their goods here this morning once again. It's the truth, friends. And only the truth that will set you free. Jesus said so. Wounded for me, gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. Song that we used to sing about the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ, which, of course, in this week was once widely celebrated and remembered in this nation. That's before y'all went back. That's before you all apostatized, gave up on the truth, and of course turned to your godless atheism. But not much better for it. Wounds and sores, unhealed because of your sins and because of the godless living. But of course the Passion Week still stands. Historically, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was crucified, dead and buried. Christ died for sinners, the Bible tells us. Died for the ungodly. Died for those who in their natures and practice contrary to God. Because that's the way we all come into the world, no exceptions. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Unrighteous, no, not one, says God. None good. Only God is good, Jesus says. And if you're ever going to get right with God, you're only going to get to heaven one day, then people, you got to get right with God. And the only way through is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died for sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world, the Bible says, to save sinners, to rescue sinners, rescue the ungodly. You see, he didn't come to make men religious, and come to make them respectable, and come to make them members of some Watchtower cult. He came, people. He came to liberate, to set us free. I came, he says, for the brokenhearted. Came to relieve the oppressed, to set the captive free. He came, people, for sinners, broken sinners, contrite, broken in heart. Such God does not despise. But the self-righteous, well, Jesus ain't got nothing to say to them. Nothing at all. I'm okay. I hear it thousands of times. Week after week, year after year, I'm okay, I'm okay, I don't need that, don't need God, you can do it yourself, you can get by on your own, or so you think, till of course it comes to the day of judgment, till you're standing before God, different then, all the bravado, all the clever remarks, all the mocking and the sneering, that goes out the window. You know, stood before God in your nakedness, devoid of any righteousness, wetting yourself because of fear. Now, people, now is the time. Now is the accepted time, says God, the day of His favor. You got the breath of life in you. You still got the chance. Still got the opportunity getting right with God, getting saved. But only happens to Jesus. Only happens through the cross. Cross is our offense, of course, to the unbelieving. That, of course, tells you something. The cross, you know, of Jesus Christ, that foolishness to you, that folly to you, that an object of mockery to you, well, that's a sign, that's evidence to you that you're perishing, that you're on the pathway to perdition. You see, people, those who are being saved, to them, them, the cross is a delight because it's where they found salvation. It's where they found forgiveness. It's where they found pardon. It's where they found rightness with God. But you don't find it nowhere else. Only in God's Son, Jesus Christ. With His wounds, we are healed, the Bible says. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word. Take it home with you, read for yourself. Well, it's offered to you free of charge, in no cost to you, no obligation. Yours to take and do with as you will. It's offered freely. Don't sell it like the Watchtower Society. We just give it away, you know. No cost to you. It's the Word of God. It's free like the Gospel. All you have to do is receive it. All you have to do is take it. To as many as received Him, Jesus that is, to them He gave the right, the authority to become the children of God. Gospel's free, people. It don't cost. Religion costs you. You gotta pay for it. It's not the Gospel. It's not God's grace. No, people, it's free. It's absolutely free. It's the only thing that's free in Newcastle today. No matter where you go, you might see a sign saying free offers, but it's not free. There's always a catch. Terms and conditions apply, you know. Nothing free at all in this world. Only the Gospel. Only God's grace. Only His Son, Jesus Christ, given, offered to you, presented to you, that if you believe, you will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's command to you. And the promise attached to it is, and you shall be saved. Saved how? By the cross. By the enduring suffering of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who bled and died on the cross in order that men and women such as you might be pardoned, might be washed and made clean. Oh, it's a deeply solemn business, intensely earnest. You know, it's heaven and hell at stake here. You know, the damnation of hell. Oh, there's something to be saved from, believe me. The wrath to come, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? One bunch of religious guys were asked by the Lord Jesus on one occasion. For them, it was too late, they'd crossed the line. But of course for you, well, I can answer that question for you today. How will you escape the damnation of hell? By repenting of your sin and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That way and that way only. There is no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me, Jesus says. Though the name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved, only through the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Sin, you see, people's a disease, likened to a disease in the Bible. That's why the Bible says, by His wounds, with His wounds, we are healed. Healed of the disease. But of course, it's more than a disease. It's a willful crime. You choose to live in it. You choose to walk in it. You choose to breathe in it. You know, you breathe God's air, you walk on His earth, you live under His sky, and you use everything that He's given to you. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes from God. You use all that stuff, but you neglect and you reject the knowledge of Him. For this, the Bible says, the wrath of God is being revealed. Not will be. Oh yes, will be finally and fully one day. But in the meantime, presently, the wrath of God is being revealed against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. It's called living in self-deception. It's called wishful thinking. You don't want there to be a God for the same reason a thief doesn't want there to be a policeman. Don't get bad news for thieves. got bad news for you if you're a thief. There are policemen, but I've got good news for you who suppress the truth about God. There is a God, and He's gracious and kind. He's merciful even to the unbelieving. If that is, you are to repent today and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you would find salvation. Nothing surer than that. God says even the suppressors of the truth. But here's the matter. You suppress, you hold down the truth about God. Why? Well, because you don't want there to be a God. Because you got a stubborn will. Because you got a bias away from God. You're born with that. You're born in sin, the Bible says. Conceived in this stuff. You come from your mother's womb, shaping in iniquity. You can do no other but sin. Yes, sir. Can I help you? Huh? You like to have a copy of God's word? No? Okay.
Actually,
yes, Kushka, sir. You're welcome, sir.
What religion is this Christian? Sir?
Just Christian, sir. Bible believing, that's all. That's all. Yes, sir.
Explain to me.
Explain what?
There's some Americans up there.
Yeah.
I don't know what religion they are, because I walk past them.
Oh, okay. No idea. What? You got a question?
Okay. I explain to you, yes, you believe in.
Pardon?
What chose the Father? Again, he told me to death. He gave himself up for you.
I don't know what you mean.
You know, God.
Yeah.
Jesus' Father.
Yes.
Right?
God is
and
Jesus.
And now,
done,
what
yeah.
Father would give his son up to die before himself?
The one that loved
you. Not the very one.
The one that loved you so much, sir. The one that loved you. Yeah. Yeah. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believed in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Eternal life through God's Son, Jesus Christ. So don't be saying, you know, that you know, God never did nothing for you. Gave you His very best. Gave you His Son. Gave Him up to the death of the cross. To give up one of your children for bad people, for good people. The Bible says that, you know, for a good person, someone might dare to die. But here's the thing, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He died for wretched enemies of God. He died for blasphemers and cursers of God. He died for the filthy and unclean, for the rebels against God. God gave His Son up to the death of the cross, that through Him that you might be saved. So like I say, you know, you walk away from this, you walk away from Christ, you walk away from the only salvation, the only hope of eternal life, and the only hope of escape from the wrath to come. So like I say, it's something to be saved from your sin, your wretched sinfulness, and your misery in it. Saved from your wretched unhappiness, saved from your rebellious natures, and saved, of course, from the final consequence of your sin, more than just misery in this world. That's bad enough. Sin has its own recompense in this world, doesn't it? Some of you already suffer as a result of it. Your gluttony and your drunkenness. Some of you are already broken in your bodies. Some of you are broken in your minds already with your sinful living. Your rebellion against God. Yeah, you need to be saved from that. From your wrong thinking, your wrong headedness. You need to be clothed in your right minds. You need to be thinking right, thinking straight, you know. This futile thinking about evolution that you use, you know, to suppress the truth and unrighteousness that you can't prove. You know, if you're going to believe something, you have to be able to prove it. And yet you see you believe in this evolutionary nonsense and you can't prove it. Not the best of you, not the worst of you. You haven't got a shred. You haven't got an ounce of anything to prove this evolutionary nonsense, but yet you believe it. Why do you believe it? Because you're a wicked sinner. That's why. You believe it. Why? Because you got a bias against God. You believe it. Why? You cling to it. You cling to it with your fingernails. You cling to it with your teeth. Because it's the one means that you can use to suppress the truth about God. It's the one thing that you think that you can use, you know, to escape, to get away from God. But where do you go to get away from God? God shall judge the secrets of men. God knows your heart. He knows your thinking before you think it. He knows your deceitful heart and mind. He knows all about you from beginning to end. There's no escaping God, friends. You go up, He's there. Down, to the left, to the right. Wherever you go, He's there. You go to hell, He's there too, but He's there in the fullness of His wrath. But that's what you need to flee from. That's what you need to escape from. That's what you need to be saved from. The wrath to come. But the wrath of God is already being revealed against your ungodliness and unrighteousness. Can you not see it the world over? Europe's already burning. How long before it comes here? How long before it strikes in London? How long before it strikes in the city of Stoke-on-Trent? How long? How long before the marauding heathen come here with their bombs and their terrorism? Europe is already suffering the wrath, the judgment of God as a result of its apostasy, coming away from the truth as it is in Jesus and embracing your godless evolution. Hey, how you doing? Thank you, sir. You see, people, you can't escape from God. His sore displeasure is already being revealed amongst you. And there's only one way out, only one way of escape, and that's through the cross. God's Son, Jesus Christ, His blood spilled, with His wounds, the Bible says, we are healed. Sin, you see, is a willful crime. It's the way that you choose. You choose to be a sinner, and you choose to walk in the way of sin, and God holds you accountable for that. But God, you see, in the gospel, would deal with you in grace, because you have the gospel yet amongst you. You know, there's yet a sign, a token of God's favor for those, that is, who will repent and believe the gospel. Sin's a disease, you see. It's abnormal. Disease isn't normal. You know, God created man in the beginning upright to reflect the image of God. You're made in the image of God. But now, of course, you don't reflect the image of God. You reflect the image of Satan. You know, when you do the lying, when you tell lies, you're reflecting the image of the father of lies. Jesus says Satan was the father of lies, a murderer from the beginning. And here you are, a man, woman, made in the image of God in the first place, but now you do the lie, you reflect the image of Satan. You know, when you do the adultery, the unclean thing, you know, you're saying God's unfaithful, and He's not. He's faithful to the uttermost. But you see, you're reflecting the wrong image, people, in sin, that is. But of course there is a way back to that sin, you know, that righteousness in which you were created, in which man was made in the beginning. But sin, you see, is likened in the Bible to a disease. It's an abnormality. It's disturbing. It disturbs man's peace. You know, it's destructive. It destroys nations. It destroys societies. It destroys families. It destroys individuals. Nothing more destructive, I tell you, than sin. Reaps havoc, already has done, in many of your lives here today. But of course, the eternal destruction awaits all who refuse to repent and believe the gospel. Jesus puts two ways before you. The narrow pathway, he says, that leads to life, eternal life, and the wide pathway, the broad one, the popular one, the one, of course, that most people travel. It leads, he says, to eternal destruction. That's the end of sin. Sin, when it's finished, when it comes to its full-blown condition, people, nothing but death. Wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there you have it, people. Death, you see, death in the pot, death in the sin, death, you see, in the deceitful heart, temporal death, cut off from God as a result of your sin in this world, in this life. Physical death, it's appointed for man once to die. After this, then comes the judgment. Then you stand before God and give account, says Jesus, for every careless word that you speak. Then, of course, that's not the finish. That's not the end. It's appointed for man once to die. After this, then comes the judgment. Then comes the second death. Then comes the lake of fire. Then comes the eternal flame. Place where the flames are never quenched and where the worm does not die. A conscience burning and gnawing at you for all eternity. Sin, people, has a recompense. There is something to be saved from, believe me.
You haven't got anything better to do than stand here abusing people.
Oh, is that right, sir?
Well, you called me a wicked sinner.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
I've never spoken to you in my life before,
you
sir.
You said anybody
never,
who believes in evolution...
I've never spoken to you in my life before.
If I believe in evolution, I must be an evil sinner.
Oh, yes. Well, that's a good conclusion to come to, sir. I would agree with you.
Well, sir,
I would agree with your words. I would agree with you. Wicked, unbelieving sin. That's what it is, sir. You're absolutely right. Man comes to the right conclusion. That's what we like. You see, there's the thing, people. You see, it's not an intellectual matter. He understands. He understands. He's got it. He's grasped it, you see. And that's why he's angry. And that's why you get angry. When I tell you the truth, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Am I your enemy because I love you? Because I want you to be saved from the wrath to come? But you see, he gets it quite clearly. He understands. You understand. It's not that you don't understand. It's that you don't, and it's that you won't believe. It's because you got this love affair going with sin. You got this passionate affair going with sin. You love your sin. You love the darkness, says God. And that's why you won't come to the light. Sir, you can walk away shaking your head until it falls off your shoulders. That won't change the truth, sir. Not one iota. Repent and believe the gospel. You got this love affair going with sin, you see. It burns within you. You love the stuff. You love the uncleanness. You love the lie. You've exchanged the truth for a lie. And your thinking as a result of that has become futile, you see. It's this love affair with sin, God says, that has to be broken off. You know how to break off relationships. Come on, you're well practiced at it today in England. Aren't you? You know, you don't do marriage anymore. You just do the fornicating, you know. And then you get fed up with a young woman. What do? Just kick her out the door. Find somebody else. Way down the pub, you'll find somebody. Or the young man, you're fed up with him. Kick him out the door. Get somebody else. You don't know how to break off a relationship. It's easy, isn't it? You know, don't commit yourself, you know. Hang loose, you know, let it go. Well, says Jesus, that's what you got to do with your love affair. You got going with sin. You got to get rid of it. You got to break it off. And you got to get into a lasting relationship with God, an eternal one, and love with God. But you see, because you love, no, I'm not joking, sir. Not in the least. Now, an old man like you, sir, it's time you repented, sir, and believed the gospel. You get one foot in hell, sir. You'll burn if you don't turn. You see, people, yeah, this love affair with sin, you love the darkness as God. That's why you won't come to the light. Ah, you know the light's the right. You know the light's the right way. You know the truth is good. You understand it. Not an intellectual problem. It's a moral problem. Or rather an immoral problem. Because you love the darkness. You love the sin. You love the filth. You love the uncleanness. You love the fornication. You love this stuff. You sit in front of television screens and internet screens, watching all day and all night long. You can't get enough of it. Why do you think there's a market for it? Why do you think they sell the stuff? Because they've done their psychology. They know what you like. They know what you're made of. They know the rock from which you are hewn. A sinful one. Sinful original parent Adam that passed the sin on down through the generations, even to this day. Born in sin, practicing sin, and unless you're born again, unless your nature's changed, unless God through His Son Jesus Christ and by His Spirit comes to you and changes your nature, changes your heart. How can you, who are accustomed to doing evil, how can you do good, says God? An impossibility with you, because that's your natural state and condition. Biased towards sin, or leaning towards iniquity and rebellion. Can you change the spots on a leopard, says God? No, you see, that's impossible. That's his natural state. But how can you change? How can you do good? You're accustomed, naturally accustomed to doing evil. You can't, it's an impossibility with you. But nothing shall be impossible with God. Change of nature is a possibility. That's why Jesus says you must be born again. Said the man's born again. Without this miracle from God, this transformation of heart and life. Heart's deceitful above all things, says God, and desperately wicked. That's the state and condition of all men and women born into this world. Without exception, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous, none good, says God. Not a single one. How can you, by your perceived goodness, you say you're a good person, you say you ought to get to heaven because you're a good person, is that right? How good are you? You ever told a lie? How many? 5,000? 5 million? How many lies you told? Huh? That's right, sir. Don't brush it away, sir. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, how many lies he told? Thus says God, no liar shall ever enter my heaven. You ever lusted after the opposite sex? You've already committed adultery in your heart, says Jesus. Nothing unclean will ever enter heaven. You ever stolen anything, big or small? No matter. No thief shall ever enter heaven. So there goes your perceived goodness. It's evaporated right in front of your eyes. No goodness at all in man. Why do you think you go about the world killing and slaughtering one another? It never comes to an end, does it? Millions and millions slaughtered by their fellow man. Animals, the animal kingdom, they do it to survive. Man does it for pleasure. Huh? Man made in the image of God does it for pleasure. Can you believe that? But that's sin, that's the disease, that's the rebellion, that's the iniquity. That's sin, people. That's sin because you hate God and you hate your neighbor in the same way. No one ever loved his neighbor until he loved God. But that's the sum of God's law, that you love your neighbor, that you love God and love your neighbor. But of course you can't do that. You can't do that. See, you're one of two things. You're either a natural born God hater, or you're a supernaturally reborn God lover. Nobody ever loved God till they were born again. No one ever loved their neighbor till they were born again. only through the gospel, my gospel, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world for this purpose, to save, to rescue men and women from their sin, make them God's lovers, make them lovers of holiness and righteousness, that which is good. Only God can change the heart. Only God can make it clean. Only God can remove the hatred, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the rebellion, the desire for the darkness, the desire for sin. Only God can change a person's heart that way. So sin, you see, it's a disease. It's an abnormality. By His wounds, Jesus' wounds, that is, His cross, His blood shed on the cross, by His wounds we are healed. The healer, Jesus Christ Himself, He died on the cross in order that you might be healed and made well, made right with God, that is, and on the pathway to heaven instead of perdition. And of course, then you see, it puts all the faculties of man out of sync. You know, it disturbs the body's function and the mind too. It's like you see, you know, this suppression of the truth and unrighteousness. You know, the Bible says it's, because man has exchanged the truth for a lie, you know, believing all this evolutionary nonsense, his thinking has become futile. In fact, the word could be translated moronic. You've become a bunch of morons, is what God says in the Bible. And you're thinking, fool has said in his heart there is no God. Not that he's stupid, not that he can't think and do things. Foolish in the moral sense of the word. You know, become darkened in your mind and futile in your thinking. You need to be saved from the wrong thinking. Let the wicked man forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You know, the thinking has to change. So out of the mind, Jesus says, that comes, you know, evil thoughts. Thoughts that turn into actions. Murder, sexual immorality, lying, you know, blasphemy. All of these things, you see, they come out of the minds of men and women the world over. And when it's turned into actions, that makes for a pretty nasty world to live in. Not God's doing, it's man's doing. Man's rebellion, man's sin, man's wickedness. But you see, the mind has to be changed. That's what the Bible means by repentance. You have to repent, you see. You have to have a change of mind. You know, change of thinking. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And you begin to think God's thoughts after him. We ought to find those, you see, in the Bible. You think God's thoughts after him and you put them into action. That's what the Bible means by repentance, people. Clothed in your right mind, intelligent. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Will your sins be as scarlet? They shall be as white as snow. God made you a reasonable creature. He made you, gave you the faculty of reason. Dogs and cats don't have that. Lions and tigers don't have that. Only human beings, men made in the image of God, have that faculty. But it's out of sync, you see, it's broken, your minds are broken. Every part of you needs to be restored, needs to be mended, renewed, you see, and that's what the gospel's about. It renews the entirety, the whole of man, his thinking, as well as his actions. But when your thinking's right, your actions are right. But when your thinking's wrong, your actions are wrong too. Then, of course, sin, you know, the disease of sin. By his wounds, we are healed, the Bible says. You know, this disease of sin, it causes untold pain, does it not? You know, it deadens the sensibilities of men and women. You know, they get into doing things that, well, they'd never otherwise do. But all the pain that it causes, you know, in the mind and in the body, Your National Health Service can't keep up with it, can't deal with it. It's almost breaking apart at the seams. Why? Well, dealing with disease. Thank you, madam. Thank you. Dealing with disease, you know, that's caused by sinful living. You know, dealing with psychological problems. I dare say half your mental institutions could be emptied overnight, you know, if there was a dose of repentance, if there was salvation to be found amongst them. So you see, that's what sin does. So destructive, so deadening, killing, you know, and causing all kinds of pain and pollution. But you know, sin never decreases. It never decreases. You know, you think as you get older, maybe you'll get better. No, not the case, people. Sin never decreases. It always increases. You know, if you don't get rid of it, if you don't deal with it, if it's not treated, it will not diminish, it will not go away, but it will increase as you get older. You become harder and more cynical and more unbelieving. Not many old folk get saved, mostly the young people. Some do, but not many. Why? Because the older you get, the older you are, the more sin is increased, and of course the harder, more cynical, and more unbelieving you become as you go on. It never decreases, it increases until it becomes fatal, until it takes you out of this world and into a lost eternity. Unless you're healed, unless you're made well. But of course no one ever sent for a doctor. No one ever went to see the doctor. No one ever went to the medical center who didn't know that they were sick. And here's the trouble. You're sick and you don't know it. You know you can have cancer and be totally unaware of it. And it can take you out of this world in a matter of days. And you know you're saying you got a couple of days left to live and you say, wow, I never knew I had that cancer. But it was there, silently, killing you all the time. And that's what sin's like. And that's what sin's doing. It's killing you. It's eating away at the vitals of your soul. It's there and you're totally unaware of it. Oh, me, a sinner, you say? Well, read God's Ten Commandments. All 10 of them. Exodus chapter 20. You haven't got a Bible? I'll give you one to read. Read them for yourself and see, and come back and tell me you've kept every one of them, all of your days, all of your life, every hour of every day. And I'll tell you you're not a sinner. But I don't think you will. If you do, it won't be honestly. Now people, you've broken every one of them. Every single one of them. All of those commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. So not bow down and make any image. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Done that one all your days. Done that back in your teens. Honored your father and mother. Your aged parents now. Are you honoring them now? Huh? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Shall not kill by means of abortion, euthanasia, or any other violence in between. Got a nation that's doing that wholesale now. Abortion, what is it? 11 million? 11 million defenseless, unborn infants slaughtered in a mother's womb since the Abortion Act was passed. Euthanasia is already going on in your hospital wards. You shall not kill, says God. Life is God's to give and His to take. Shall not commit adultery. That covers every form of sexual immorality known to you. The fornicating as well and the sodomy. Shall not commit adultery. Shall not steal. Shall not steal. No, not from the tax man either. You shall not bear false witness, tell lies, that is. Shall not covet. So come back and tell me you've kept all of those commandments. And I'll tell you you're not a sinner, but you haven't. No one has. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the spotless Son of God. So qualified Him to be a Savior. So qualified Him for the cross. That's why He was able to go to the cross and die for sinners. Why Jesus died. To save sinners, save lawbreakers, save covenant breakers, deliver you from the disease of sin, to heal and to make you well. But you got to know, people, you got to know that you're sick. You got to know that you got the disease before you'll go to the physician, before you'll go to the doctor. But when you know, when God convinces you of your sin, when you realize that that's your real state and condition and that you need to be healed, well, Jesus, He's the one. He's the one to go to. He's the only one that can heal you of the disease. He's the divine healer. And He heals all that come to Him in repentance and faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation would be yours. So you see that the remedy has been provided. Death of God's Son, Jesus Christ. His wounds. The heavenly medicine. But of course, if you don't take the medicine, whose fault is it if you die? Whose fault is it if you end up in hell? If you get lost for all eternity, whose fault is it? Somebody tells you. You know, you go to the doctor and he says you're sick and you're dying, but here's some medicine, you take it and you'll get well. And you walk out the surgery and you leave the medicine there. Whose fault if you die? You gonna blame the doctor? You gonna blame the medicine? You gonna blame the pharmaceutical? Who are you gonna blame? It's yourself. You refuse to take the medicine. But I'm telling you, you're sick unto death. You got a disease that's called sin, and Jesus is the cure. But you don't take Him, you don't believe. Whose fault is you perish in your sin? Who are you going to blame? God? He sent His Son for you. You're going to blame the Bible? You're going to blame the preacher? Who are you going to blame? Nobody but yourself. Nobody but yourself. You were offered the medicine, but you wouldn't take it. So it's your own blame. It's your own blame if you perish. The remedy you see has been provided for you. Your place is to plead with God. You know, with some energy, with some power, plead with God that He would have mercy upon you. Say, I wouldn't know how to pray. Here's how to pray. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Cry out to Him and give Him no rest until He comes to you. Until He heals you, until He makes you well, until He restores you, until He saves you, until you know that you're forgiven, until you know that you have eternal life in your soul. Faith, you see, that applies the medicine. Nobody ever cried unless they believe. Nobody has ever sought after God till they believe. Repentance and faith, these are gifts that come from God. Only God can give them. Can't do it of yourself. But here's the thing, people. You are encouraged in God's Word in the Bible to seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened up to you. God says He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. But of course, while you do repent, begin repenting, well, that would be the first sign, it would seem to me, that you are being healed. A desire maybe to turn away from your sin. Desire to forsake your way and your unrighteous thoughts. Maybe get hold of the Bible and read for yourself and check these things out. See what God would say to you. Maybe you get a surprise. Not about religion, but a person, Jesus, Son of God, loveliest person that ever graced the face of this earth. And what did a wicked humanity do to Him? Nailed to a cross. And if it was to come again, that's exactly what you would do all over again. You'd all be baying and howling, crucify him, crucify him. That's the hatred. That's the disease. That's the sink of man's heart. Every single one of us born into this world. And that's what you need to be cured from. It's what you need to be saved from. Oh, believe me, there's something to be saved from. But of course, the minute a person repents and believes the Lord Jesus Christ, the remedy, the healing's immediately, conscience is healed, peace of God comes that passes all understanding, is how the Bible puts it. Peace of God, you see, God offers you peace, and He is able to offer you peace. How? Because of the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, shed on the cross. By His wounds you are healed. You see, people, Christ, by His blood, He made peace. But that peace has to be received willingly, consciously, deliberately, in faith. It has to be received. The moment it's received, that peace will be yours. Peace of conscience, a heart healed of the love of sin, and given a hatred for evil, to hate what you should hate and love what you should love. Love God, love goodness. Healed of your rebellion, your iniquitous heart. So you see, people, it's a terrible disease. Disease that affects the mind, the body, the soul, and will affect you, of course, eternally if it's not dealt with, if you know, your heart's not changed, if you're not healed, if you're not made well. And only Jesus Christ, He's the medicine, He's the answer to the sin problem, your sin problem. But if you don't take Him, if you don't receive Him, if you don't believe in His name, well, the responsibility is yours. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus that is, shall be saved from sin's penalty, its wages, death, saved from its power that holds you in its grip. Won't let you go, save from His presence that permeates your world, your homes and your hearts. Saved. Salvation, you see, is what the Bible's about. Start to finish, beginning to end. Word of God, able to make you wise. Not clever, but make you wise for salvation. The wisdom and the power of God in the Gospel. The good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. Still the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Not for all who are religious, but all who believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, the Son of God. Proved to be the Son of God by the power of His resurrection from the dead. Passion Week ended and finished with the resurrection of God's Son, Christ, died for sinners according to the Scriptures, was dead and buried, and after the third day, rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures, just as the Bible said He would. That sinners could repent, could believe, could turn from their wicked ways, embrace the Son of God, and you embrace salvation. Believe, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.